Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, the supply chain sector has been hit by physical disruptions on the back of COVID-19 and more recently what some have termed as a black swan event, the Suez Canal incident. But online, other threats lurk, and I'm talking about cyber attacks and data breaches. And today we're joined by Daniel Chu, and he's the Director of Sales Engineering for APAC at ExtraHop, to find out more about the key trends in this area and how consumers can better safeguard themselves. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here, Rachel.
So Daniel, ExtraHop handles supply chain risk. And we've seen a lot of supply chain issues over the past year. But what are some of the key risks and trends that you've seen in the market over the past year?
Yeah, sure. So we're in a cybersecurity space, in a space called network detection and response. And so you mentioned about the supply chain risks and the supply chain attacks that we're seeing, right? And so if I take a step back and we look at some of the mission critical or revenue generating services that our businesses provide, they all have like this underlying IT system that's growing more and more complex with more and more interdependencies, right? And that can be hardware or software dependencies on a lot of third parties, right? And all it takes is one obscure but vulnerable third party in your supply chain to cause a potential breach, right? And that breach could be massive. And so that's been front and center to us in terms of a key trend that we're seeing. Late last year, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard about the popular software vendor called SolarWinds, which was a victim of that supply chain attack. Yeah. So they were a software supply chain attack. When what made this notable, and typically this kind of doesn't necessarily make the front headlines for all the news outlets, but what made this notable was the scale. They had around 18,000 customers, and some of these customers were definitely more on the sensitive side with government entities. But the second thing that made this interesting was this was not a software that was leveraged by like people like you and me, Rachel. They were software leveraged by like the IT network administrators of organizations, right? And they oftentimes hold the key to the kingdom, if you will, right? So they definitely had more leeway and more access granted to this solution than your typical software installed on a workstation, right? And so what that meant and the impact that has as a supply chain risk is now you have a compromised software residing in within the perimeter of a lot of your defenses, now having free reign to roam around and look for sensitive information to breach and to exploit within an organization. And that's obviously a huge impact because now you have something in your environment that supposed to be the trusted entity now having free reign to do whatever they want. And not only has it been an impact to us in the cybersecurity space, like me personally and a lot of my colleagues anecdotally, we helped a lot of our customers out in terms of securing our customers once this news broke out, right? And so now that there's new data, we helped secure a lot of stuff and help provide some guidance there for protecting them from this day forward based on the new data that arises. Mm. But what was actually interesting was also now that there's new information going back retrospectively and saying, hey, 6 to 9 months ago, now that we have these new informations and indications of how this attack happened, were they compromised 9 months ago or 6 months ago? So this supply chain attack has definitely become front and center for us in the cybersecurity world.
Let's take a step back a minute and talk about supply chain and parcel delivery beyond some of the security threats that we're seeing at the moment, because I'm going to be honest, I'm guilty of ordering more over the past year as a result of the pandemic. And I think there have been reports that mail volume, while it's declined 27%, the e-commerce sector here has been expanding rapidly, and it's projected to grow by a compounded annual growth rate of around 16% from last year until 2025. And with this increase in volume, Daniel, what are some of the challenges and opportunities when it comes to the supply chain sector? Obviously, security and your information is one. And what does this mean for consumers?
Yes. Is it only 16%? Because in my household, my wife seems to have gotten up to 200%.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm partially joking there. But in terms of the security challenges, there's definitely a logistics aspect to that with physical security, right? But from a cybersecurity angle, close to home with this e-commerce platforms and its delivery is the fact that There has been more and more breaches, right? And it's almost inevitable, right? Just last week, we've seen some recent breaches with Certus, with the NTUC, and a few months ago with Singtel, and Facebook has been a big one with, I think, around 500 million potentially compromised accounts. So this has been definitely front and center. But in terms of the e-commerce space specifically, we've seen late last year, Redmart, which is now under Lazada, also been compromised, right? And with that compromise comes your personal information, be it your NRIC, your names, your birth date, your passport, your credit card information, maybe partially. So there's a lot of sensitive information that could be potentially revealed when we're leveraging a lot of these services more prevalently than we were beforehand.
And you mentioned the delivery network as well, because in other news that came out earlier this month as well, Senior Minister of State for Communications and Information, Sim Ann, she said in Parliament that the nationwide parcel locker network that's being rolled out will be run by the government so that it's a neutral and freely accessible to all delivery service providers and consumers. And I believe the Postal Service Act was also amended to grant the Infocom Media Development Authority powers to deploy and operate the island-wide network. And this comes at a time, as you've mentioned, Daniel, when e-commerce and parcel volumes have skyrocketed in your household 200%. But what are your thoughts on this latest move? I mean, the Infocom Media Development Authority handling the nationwide parcel network.
Yeah, sure. So personally, as a consumer, I welcome the government stepping in. And ultimately, what they're trying to provide is flexibility and convenience and a unified experience for us as the consumers, right? So I think it's a great thing, right? Previously, I think logistics-wise, it was quite fragmented, right? With your DHLs, the SingPost, the Q10s, the Shopees of the world, all having their kind of experience on how you should receive a package. And now we have a consistent experience for not just picking up stuff, which people think about, but also even the return policies from what I've read. So that's definitely something welcome, right? And I think I've read the same news that you're reading, where we're seeing also a pretty ambitious rollout of, I believe, 1,000 lockers by the end of this year in Singapore. So definitely looking forward to that from a personal aspect. If I were to put on more of a professional cybersecurity hat, and understand, I think there has to be just a continued vigilance, right? When you're rolling out a new centralized digital service and trying to get adoption from the public in terms of trusting the services and understanding how it works, right? And like we just talked about with a lot of these high profile breaches where names, emails, phone numbers, partial credit cards, and I think in some cases we've seen encrypted passwords, there has to be a lot of vigilance on the vendor side in terms of providing the services, as well as when I'm looking at this, when the e-commerce platforms talks with the parcel lockers, systems under the IMDA, making sure that that the system is secure and that they're putting in the continued vigilance and having the safeguards and the right security frameworks in place to ensure that we can minimize the chance of breach and also minimize the scope of potentially the impact of a breach should it occur.
We've been talking about volumes increasing, our consumer data that's available online and protecting that. Data security for most consumers is always a concern, but how can consumers better protect that confidential information from being hacked, especially if they're accessing multiple parcel pickup locations or they've got multiple delivery service apps on their phone? What are some of the things that they should be doing?
I think as a consumer, we can always vote for our wallet. We oftentimes feel that we're at the mercy of whatever the provider and what kind of security they have, whether it's good or bad, right? But I think it's us as the consumers and stockholders in many of these public companies to ensure that security is definitely not just seen as a cost center in organizations, but seen as essential to business, right? And the best way is to vote with our wallet, right? That's the high level answer. But in terms of us as a consumer, and I think the first thing we want to do is be very cognizant of the recent breach news. And unfortunately, it's getting hard to keep track of because there's so many recent breaches that are coming out and the amount of information that's being revealed, it varies, right? Sometimes it might be your NRIC number. Sometimes it's your email. Sometimes it might be your birthday. And so now that you know that sensitive information is out there, I think it's what a general feedback that I normally give people is to be very vigilant and also have a healthy dose of paranoia, right? Because now that your sensitive information is out there, there are so many creative scams that really tap into our vulnerable instincts, right? Of fear or greed, where they can put an email or SMS or WhatsApp in front of you with your phone number, your email, your birthday, and says, hey, we need this additional information from you, right? And so it can look very credible. And this can be all information that's been publicly divulged due to a breach. So having a healthy dose of paranoia is definitely important. But from a practical standpoint, as consumers, once a breach happens, see what account got breached. Are you sharing the same password across different accounts? Being on top of that, changing passwords, monitoring your bank accounts to make sure there's no anomalous transactions. And a lot of this at the end of the day depends on two-factor authentications, be it in SMS or emails. And so making sure that your email is secure, especially when we're talking about a digital locker, parcel locker, a lot of these key codes would probably be delivered via SMS and emails, and making sure that those delivery avenues are secure and you're on top of them.
Wonderful. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for taking the time to share all those updates and insights with us.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here, Rachel.
We've been speaking with Daniel Chu, Director of Sales Engineering for APAC at ExtraHop. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.